Tonight, James lambastes a Chinaman. Mike steals all your organs. And we must defeat Goldfinger with atomic robots.
Hey, this is James from SorrelPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike, once again getting completely caught off guard when some bitch just doesn't know when not to hit the record button.
That's not actually accurate. I said, okay, let's go. And then Mike's like, well, I wouldn't mind seeing an episode back in my day.
You're supposed to ask me if I'm ready. You didn't ask me if I'm ready. You just said, let's go. Well, any fucking way, how are you doing this week, sir?
That's actually funny, because according to the listeners, they're gonna be like, we didn't hear you say let's go, and they're gonna be like, the listeners will be going, no, I'm pretty sure we heard Joey Ramone saying, hey, hell, let's go, and you're like, you're not going, Mike, god damn it.
That doesn't, yeah.
Speaking of free previews, I was mentioning that my stupid DVR, which I won't have much longer, hopefully, was getting a free preview of BBC America, and my satellite in my car is doing free previews. It's back on for a couple. It said 2 weeks. Knowing Sirius satellite, it'll probably be like 7 months before they're like, oh shit, we need to turn them off again. Whatever. So I've been rocking out to like the 80s and the 90s stations.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, so there's a station that only plays 90s. The 90s on 9, like channel 9 or 19 or 90 or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they were playing the Beavis and Butthead theme song and doing like, ha 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 ha.
What the fuck?
Yeah. They don't have commercials, but like they have like buffers in between segments. Yeah. And I was like, man, we should fuck with the whole audience one time and like have Beavis and Butthead like intro. And they're like, wait a second, I'm this is the right thing? Like, what's going on here? Shut up, Beavis. do I have any preamble things? Oh, I do have a preamble thing.
Yes, we were going to discuss the worst article ever written.
Yeah. I don't even know if I want to link to it, because I don't think I do. Like, this Chinese guy, like, Xing Shao, that's terrible. I'm a horrible, horrible racist. Chitan Sahul. So I'm not that bad. Hi, James. I came across your site, brackets, survivalpunk.com/resources, and saw it links to a lot of awesome sites. I liked the work you did on your site. I had also written a high-quality content, i.e., the definitive guide to survival knives, brackets, 10,000 plus words. I was wondering if you would be interested in including my article on your above page, i.e. this motherfucker wants a backlink from me. As
like you,
I also prefer delivering quality content to the readers. Either way, keep up the awesome work. Smiley.
Let's take a look at that article, shall we? It's got my interest.
I actually did pull it up. It's on a savemydiscount.com website.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
31 best survival knife reviews 2016 in the world.
Yeah, it's a train wreck, and it's got stock images. This guy's never held a knife in his life.
Let's see.
I don't want to like read through the whole thing, but there are some things that.
Let's see. Survival knife is a life-saving tool that comes in handy if you need to spend time in the wilderness while camping, hiking, hunting, or unfortunately estranged. Estranged. It can also be used as a safety tool to save your life or someone else's during life-threatening circumstances like accidents or disasters. It is designed in such a way that it can perform tasks like chipping, pruning, batoning, skinning, and cutting effortlessly.
Yeah, let me see if I can. Let's see. There were some ones that, like, I skimmed through it.
I love that. Let's see.
I don't want to waste people's time, but it's terrible.
You should have did highlights.
I just pulled this up. I glanced through it, and I was like, that is terrible.
Even if you hunt down food.
Yeah.
Let's
use
see.
Use it to make tools. Use it for digging. Where was it at? Use it for self-defense. I think I read in here and...
Since a survival knife is small and easy to carry around, it can be very effective self-defense equipment. You can fend off wild animals or even people when it comes to it. Though a survival knife is not made to inflict any serious injuries, but it can do enough to save your life.
For your knife to be able to do all this, they need to be aptly geared up. What the fuck? What? That sounds like a retarded translated like RPG from the 90s on Super Nintendo. All your base are belong to us.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I'm not going to read anymore, but, sorry, Shantal Gugans. I will not be linking to your shitty article. Not even in the show notes. Normally I'm like, you can find the link in the show notes. No, you can't. No, you can't.
You gave the website.
If you go to savemydiscount.com/best-survival-knife-guide/, then you can find this piece of shit and you can laugh your ass off. Whatever. He is not going to get a backlink, though.
Alright. So, Mike, what do we got coming up on the show today? I'm glad you asked, James.
What do we have coming up today, Beavis?
We're going to be talking about Cody Lundin in a lawsuit. We're going to be talking about FEMA in a megaquake. We'll be telling you a bit about medical prepping that you can do before going off-grid. And we're going to be discussing some ways to speed up muscle recovery. And I'm going to be letting you know what I think about gluten-free labels. So let's just dive right into our first news story. Ex-dual survival host Cody Lundin, co-host tried to kill me. Actually, I saw this one.
Yeah, this is the one that my good buddy Mike Hawk sent to me. Not really, but we're trying to get him on the show. Ex-dual survival host Cody Lundin is claiming his co-host tried to kill him, according to a lawsuit obtained by TMZ, filed against Discovery. TMZ reports that Lundin's suit claims that Joe Teddy threatened to kill him while shooting the Discovery show. Lundin says in a suit that producers says in the suit that producers made it look like he was losing it during filming, but in reality, Teddy waved an ice axe around while threatening to bury Lundin on a mountain in Norway. While shooting in Hawaii, Lundin says Teddy threatened to impale him with a spear.
Fucking shit.
Where are we at? You can read a little bit. This is a super short article.
Let's see. Lundin alleges Teddy, a former CIA operative, said, "You better not blow this for me. I think you know what is going to happen to you," TMZ reports. Lundin also says Teddy showed him pictures of people he killed while in the CIA.
I mean, I guess it's on his Instagram, right? Are you following this guy's Instagram?
According to the gossip site, Lundin's biggest issue is that the show made him look like he was going crazy, and he is now having trouble finding work. A rep for Discovery had no comment. A rep for Lundin did not return Fox 411's request for comment.
I kind of want to be like, I think Cody's having a meltdown. Like, he's like, people are trying to kill me. And I'm like, okay, so as all this stuff has been unfolding over the years, like, I started out with like, okay, before Dual Survival, I didn't know who Cody Lundin was. I'm sorry, like, I knew Dave Canterbury. And I wanted to watch the show because I like Dave Canterbury from his YouTube channels.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I'm like, okay, I actually really like Cody Lundin. I like his Bush hippie style, you know. So I own both of Cody Lundin's books that he has. They're probably on the survival bookshelf over there. Well, not probably. I know for a fact they are. They're probably some of the best books on survival because they're not the same as, like, I probably have 5 books over there that are exact copies of the Army Field Survival Manual
whatever, like FM 11 or something. It's the same information over and over and over. Cody's book is fun, interesting, has hippie like cartoons all throughout to illustrate stuff.
Huh.
It explains things really well. And it's not the same bullshit information over and over. With that said, I've been losing more and more respect for him. Like, him and Dave were friends, and then that shit came out that Dave fudged some stuff on his resume to Discovery. Who the fuck doesn't fudge their resume? I fudge my resume all the shit.
Oh, God, yeah. You should have seen my job application.
I'm pretty sure I put on a time-traveling, like, Highlander from the 1400s on there. Whatever gets me a job, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, I completely delete many, 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 many jobs I had.
Yeah, and you change the, like, so in college, for the year that I went, I was a computer lab monitor. I sat there and made sure people didn't steal computers while I surfed the internet. I didn't do jack shit. What does it say on my resume? Tech support for Austin Peay University. I was not tech support.
Close enough.
They used to have a phone, but then they took the phone out. And the phone, like, we had a laminated, like, sheet behind the wall of the phone.
Let me guess, it says, did you try turning it off and turning it back on again?
No. Normally that would be good. But 90% of all the questions to Austin Peay was, how do I log into my email? Because the Austin Peay email server account was, like, it was based on, like, your name and social. It was, like, it would be, like, Mike Geisey, 1234567 at APSU.net or whatever.
Okay.
And I'm like, try this. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, it was a sheet. It was like, this is your username. Like, because it's their, like, first initial, middle initial, like, four letters of the last name and, like, four of their social or something. And then it lets you in.
Huh.
So that was it. So, but, you know, like, who did, like, if you're listening and you haven't fibbed on your resume, you're Jesus Christ, and I don't believe you.
And you're a fucking liar.
Yeah. You're the baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Oh man, yeah. So I've kind of, it seems like Cody's just kind of going crazy. I'm like, I don't like Joe Teddy. I've seen some episodes with him. And I think he's a douchebag. Did he threaten to kill Cody? Yes. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I'm sure in our long friendship, me and Mike have threatened to kill each other. I'm not going to go sue you. I'm not going to go sue...
Well, that's the thing. They didn't have that long of a relationship. The dude is a CIA operative. And frankly, from the couple episodes of the Joe Teddy show that I saw,
yeah,
he looks like he would threaten to kill somebody with the quickness. So, yeah, I kind of take Cody's side on this one. And plus, fucking sue Discovery. Get every goddamn penny you can get out of the bastard.
Yeah. I don't know.
It did kind of irritate me the way he just kind of, like, turned on fucking Dave Canterbury.
That's what I was getting to, yeah.
They had great fucking chemistry
together. And I saw posts and stuff and interaction before that. And it seemed like they were actually, like, really good friends in real life. You know, once they started
working together and everything.
Yeah, and then it was just like, oh, fuck you, Dave. What? No, where's this coming from? Yeah, so I kind of don't take Cody's side. Like, I think he's kind of being a douchebag. And I mean, maybe he was threatening to be killed. But it's like, the more and more I hear, I'm like, really? Like, you're suing Discovery because they made you look crazy. I mean, it's TV. It's kind of what they do. That's why I usually, like, junk mail, you know.
How did they make him look crazy, though?
I didn't see the episodes, but...
Made Cody look crazy.
Yeah, I don't...
What, just editing tricks or something?
But no, I assume he actually did act crazy, and they just, like, made sure to include that.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't trust TV. That's why I don't go on TV.
You can't trust TV.
So that's interesting. I mean, I would say the best survival stuff you're going to watch is going to be on YouTube. I mean, just occasionally me and Mike will see a show on Netflix and
give it a whirl.
We'll give it a whirl. It's usually hit or miss. So do what you will.
All right. Well, yeah. do what you will.
Let's move on. Mike has an article for us.
FEMA prepping for Pacific Northwest megaquake. Cascadia Rising.
And this comes from our friends at offgridsurvival.com.
This summer, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, FEMA, is conducting a large-scale preparedness drill simulating a 9.0 magnitude quake along the Cascadia Subduction Zone, CSZ, followed by a tsunami that could create waves over 50 feet high. The drill, dubbed Cascadia Rising, will bring together local and state emergency responders, FEMA, and a number of military organizations and government first responders. The drill comes as a number of top scientists are warning the Cascadia Subduction Zone is a disaster waiting to happen. Now, it looks like the Cascadia Subduction Zone looks like it's all off the coast of Washington and Oregon and, like, the very northern part of California, right around in there. The Cascadia Subduction Zone spans from northern California to the southern British Columbia. The Subduction Zone, which sounds really sexy.
Subduction Zone.
Yeah, Subduction Zone can produce some of the strongest earthquakes on the planet, and researchers are warning that the area could be long overdue for a quake that could exceed a magnitude of 9.0. While most people have heard of the San Andreas Fault Line in California, very little attention has been given to the Cascadian Subduction Zone. But when compared to the San Andreas, the CSZ is much larger and a scarier threat.
Okay. Cascadia can make an earthquake almost 30 times more energetic than the San Andreas to start with. And then it generates a tsunami at the same time, which the side-by-side motion of the San Andreas can't do. Chris Goldfinger... What a good name!
Goldfinger!
Hell yeah!
The man with the Midas touch!
A professor... Of course he's a professor!
Professor Goldfinger.
Dr. Goldfinger!
Oh my god!
Oh, I love you, Dr. Goldfinger. A professor of geophysics. Obviously he's gonna make a fucking tsunami machine!
Oh my
god. Look at this motherfucker!
No, Washington State, I expect you to die.
Sorry, everybody. I just got off work. I've been up all night. A professor of geophysics at Oregon State University told CNN, "This would be like five or six Katrinas all at once, up and down from California to Canada."
How will you deal with my megaquake, Mr. Bond?
Yeah. Federal, state, and military officials are... are taking the threat seriously and are working to put together a plan that will dictate their response when the big one hits. The Cascadia Rising Preparedness Drill will test plans that have been put together over the last couple years. Plans that expects over 14,000 deaths, 30,000 injuries, and the complete devastation of the Pacific Northwest coast. According to planners, the quake could devastate the region for decades and could displace millions of people from Northern California to Southern Canada.
How bad could it be?
This article's too fucking long. We're not going to read all of it.
Yeah, I know, but over 7 million people throughout the region could be affected by the CSZ quake tsunami. When the quake hits, the force is expected to cause liquefaction across large areas in the porous region. In areas that aren't liquefied, the force of the quake could cause high landslides, devastating destruction of thousands of bridges and buildings, and could cause as many as 30,000 avalanches in Seattle alone.
Oh, poor Seattle.
As bad as the quake will be, it will really only be the tip of the iceberg. About 20 minutes after the quake strikes, a devastating tsunami with waves as high as 50 feet will slam the Pacific Northwest coast, though in low-lying areas will probably not have time to escape the wrath. And then there's something about a following model.
Who's across the pond from the Pacific Northwest? Who's going to get hit with that?
Over here, that's like Russia and China and Asia.
Because they're Bering Strait. You're right.
Let's see, officials are planning for a disaster unlike anything we've ever seen. The response will include the deployment of civilian and military personnel and will exceed anything we've ever had to respond to as a country.
Dr. Goldfinger's going to destroy the Soviet Union.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you want to read the rest of this article, because it's pretty lengthy, go to offgridsurvival.com, Cascadia Rising, -Pacific Northwest, -Megaquake. It'll be in the show notes.
It will be in the show notes.
But how long have they been talking about the big one?
Oh, always.
Far back as I could fucking remember, and that was the 80s.
Can you imagine if, like, every place in the U.S. that had a big one spot, all had the big one spot at the same time, Dr. Goldfinger. Because, you know, Tennessee sits on the San Madrid Fault.
Okay.
And they have the San Andreas Fault. And I guess the Cascadia?
Uh-huh.
What if, like, oh, and let's say Mount St. Helens blue, and Yellowstone blue. All of them at the same time. The U.S. is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Goldfinger.
There's going to be some poor bastard sitting out in Kansas like, I made it, and then a tornado strikes.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we're collecting some interesting doctor names on the show. Like, a couple of weeks back, we had Dr. Chlamydia.
Oh, yeah, we did. I'm pretty sure we had an even funnier one, like, weeks before that. Chances are, if you're a doctor and we read about you on the show, we're going to make fun of you.
Oh, my God. Fucking Goldfinger. See, and I hadn't read the article, so I was not expecting Dr. Goldfinger. That was just a fucking bonus.
I don't know. Like, offgridsurvival.com, you fucked up. You said his name was blah, 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 Goldfinger. And then you said a professor. Why didn't you just call him Dr. Goldfinger? Okay, technically they didn't say PhD, but professor, might as well have a doctorate.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
He's Dr. Goldfinger.
He's Dr. Goldfinger, yeah.
Dr. Goldfinger. Yeah. What can you do to protect yourself from a megaquake? Not much, really. I mean,
get the fuck away from the coast.
Yeah, I mean,
move further into the middle of the continent. That's about it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's that's so far up. Like, it's like, do you prepare for, like, the meteorite smacking the Earth and killing us all? No, I mean, that's too far up there. I mean, I tend to recommend people start further down. Like, are you prepared to lose your job? Okay.
Now, the big meteorite that strikes the Earth that's going to kill everybody in like 72 hours, you're going to see so many fucking AA meetings just break up and everybody's going to be playing like fucking quarters with their chips.
Yeah, bro, I'm out of here.
Like, fuck it, the world's about to go up. Fuck AA.
Yep, which...
I know you. If they're like, the whole planet has 24 hours before it explodes, you'd be so drunk.
I would definitely enjoy me a 6-pack of Guinness.
Which would get you drunk at this point, I can imagine. I mean, probably. You haven't had a drink in how long?
It's May?
Yeah. It's almost June.
4 months from 3 years?
Bones.
Yeah. It's proud getting there. Bro. Yeah, so...
Every day is a victory.
Yep. I need to find another AA meeting.
Yeah, you haven't been in a while.
I haven't been in, a few years. Well,
you haven't been in a few years?
Well! A year. I haven't been in, like, a little over a year.
Have you been missing it?
Not really. I mean, I really... I don't really have the... Just because?
To check in with people you don't even know?
Yeah. I just... there's a funny saying in AA, and if any of you... our former alcoholics, you'll probably know this. It's kind of like you may not be drinking, but like the alcoholic like disease inside you is like every day you're not drinking, he's in there doing push-ups. He's like a jailhouse working out in there. He's like, oh, I'm getting ready for you, boy. Like, you're gonna give in one day, and it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong.
And I'm not trying to diss on AA, because it is a great organization, nonprofit, that helps a hell of a lot of people around the world. But it just seems like, if you're a struggling alcoholic and you've been this long without alcohol, going to a meeting and talking about it would make you want to drink more.
No, it won't. I mean, you think...
Like, I mean, people who quit smoking, if they're in a room full of smokers, they're going to want a cigarette.
But they would be in the room smoking.
Yeah, but just talking about cigarettes makes me want a cigarette.
Yeah. Well,
like, I want one right now.
You can tell there's some serious addiction going on. If you go to an AA meeting, everyone's sitting outside smoking in between meetings and drinking coffee like it's going out of style.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the worst.
They replaced alcohol with caffeine and nicotine.
Pretty much, yeah.
So,
all right,
well, let's move on
to our main topic. And I actually, this is a rarity. I actually came up with this one.
Sweet Mother of Jesus.
And did a lot of homework on it. We're going to be talking about medical prepping for going off-grid. And I'm not talking about, like, medical prepping for going off-grid for, like, a weekend. I'm talking about as a way of life. Like you said, you've fallen so low, you've finally hit fuck it, all right? You can't deal with the government anymore. You can't deal with politics. You can't deal with your Hillarys and your Donalds and all that shit. You know the goddamn country's imploding. Your fucking bills are astronomical, and you've got nothing or no one tying you to this area. You've got some land way the hell out in the middle of nowhere. Fuck it. You're wanting to go off-grid. You're wanting to get the hell away from society. Get the hell away from people. Fucking live off the land. Build yourself the goddamn cabin you've all been talking about for 20 fucking years. Just go. You've done. You're gone. You want to go do it. So these are a few things that I feel, that we both feel, would be beneficial to somebody who's about to go off-grid. Because once you're way the hell out there, doctors are going to be way the hell away from you. And in the event of some medical emergencies and stuff like that, you could royally be fucked. So it's good to take some preemptive steps.
Yeah, there's a lot of preemptive things you can do that you will have to deal with eventually. If you get them taken care of now, then me and Mike, we haven't even, like, I don't have notes. Mike has notes.
Yeah,
I've got things on top of my head, so we don't actually know what each other is going to talk about. So it'll be a cool play to see if we step on each other's toes or can expand. So let's let you take over first. Like, now, what do you have?
All right, yeah, I numbered these, but I'm going completely out of order here of what I had because I was just writing them down as they came to me. Now, the first thing you're going to want to do, and this is basic prepping as it is, okay? Start collecting medicine and stockpiling medical supplies. Bandages, splints, crutches, all that stuff. I mean, if it's a medical supply and you can get your hands on it, fucking stockpile it. You know, and medicine, too. All the medicine. Get all the medicine. I don't care. If it's medicine, it might come in handy at some point. I mean, plus, medicines have other uses other than what they're mainly prescribed for. So, you know, do a little research. But that's just basic stuff. We're talking about hardcore shit here.
Yeah.
We're talking about vestigial organs. Stuff that can really fuck you up and you can live without it. Now, the first thing I would recommend for those out there that are nearsighted, farsighted, whatever, invest in the LASIK surgery. Because it will really suck if you get out there and lose your last contact or if you break your fucking glasses.
Yeah.
It's better to just get your damn eyes fixed now while you can. That way you don't have to worry about it. I mean, LASIK and... I mean, it's just everybody I've ever met that's had LASIK surgery is like swears by it. I mean, it's a great first step to take.
That was on my mental list. LASIK. I know my buddy Mountain Evan Chang, creator of the Primal Professional, which my review just went out this week. That I wrote like 2 years ago or something. it just went out, which is it's now called Chronology. Whatever. He had LASIK, and he loves it. The only side effect is, at least temporarily, like for the couple years afterwards, like, you know, 2 years afterwards, you have some excessive sort of light sensitivity. So, I mean, you have to wear sunglasses. Whoop-de-doo, you can see. Buying sunglasses off the shelf is not anything like buying prescription sunglasses. Like, you have the transition lenses.
Yeah.
They cost you a pretty penny to have your lenses upgraded to that.
Yeah, I think it was like an extra... I can't remember. It was like maybe an extra $40.
Yeah, and there are alternatives. There are places like Zenni Optical where you can get glasses for like $20.
Mm-hmm.
The pair that you have that cost you... Well, you had no... Use your insurance on your wife. You bought yours out of pocket, right? Or was it vice versa? You bought one pair out of pocket and used your insurance on the other one, right?
Hers we paid for out of pocket, and I paid for mine off the HSA card.
Okay.
We ran insurance on everything.
But it's HSA, so it takes from that, and then you pay the difference.
Yeah, I pay my insurance premium. Well, my company takes them out of my check, and then they start putting money into an HSA account for me, and I just pay out of there.
I mean, even you could buy your glasses from Zinni Optical that way.
I need to find out if a Wells Fargo's open today. Wait, it's Friday. Never mind.
It's not Saturday. Yeah, it's where they
have. I'm in Saturday mode.
Yeah, so you can go to Zinni Optical with your prescription and get like 5 pairs, like $100.
Mm-hmm.
Stash them everywhere. Put an extra pair, like if you need glasses, put a pair like in your glove box and your nightstand, your bathroom, like you break some. Like I personally do want to get LASIK. Yeah, and it's getting cheaper and cheaper, and there's deals all the time. Like if you're on like Groupon and stuff, like I saw deals that were like $1,000 off. So basically, it's probably like you pay $1,000, like because it's like $500 to $1,000 per eye. So,
no, and I've discussed it with our producer, and she's in agreement with me. I told her I want to get LASIK.
Yeah,
and after because I might have to wait an extra fucking year because this year I'm gonna have to get me a new car.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make my fucking Cavalier out there last until my next income tax refund.
Yeah. There's, well.
No, but definitely LASIK is a damn good investment. It's pricey, but actually a lot of the things on my list are going to be pricey.
Pricey now, but, I mean, what would you, like, in a grid down scenario, what would you pay to be able to see or not to be in agonizing pain?
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, it's not. It's, yeah. So what do you have next?
All right. Now we're going to get into some elective surgeries. Most of you would think of these as emergency surgeries, but they can all be done electively, okay? It's basically, your body is full of useless shit. All right. I mean, it's got a lot of helpful shit. Don't get me wrong on that. But you've got a lot of useless shit in there that you can live just fine without. Now, let's start with your tonsils and your adenoids, okay? Tonsils are tissues located in the back of your throat where germs come into your mouth and nose and are trapped to protect from infection. Sometimes tonsils become infected, enlarged, or inflamed, which is called tonsillitis. If swollen tonsils interfere with your breathing or swallowing, you have repeated infections that are treatable with antibiotics that may need to be surgically removed. Tonsillectomies are pretty common, and you certainly live without your tonsils that keep you getting sick. Now, while they're back there taking out your tonsils, they might as well take out your adenoids because they're right there with them. They generally lose their purpose after the age of 3. They're back up behind your nose. They trap bacteria and all that sort of things. But if they start swelling, or that could cause recurring infections, and you may need to have an adenoidectomy. This is often done during a tonsillectomy. So those are two things right there that you can. One surgery, just get them the hell out of there. Stuff you don't have to worry about later.
I would say if you have issues with those things, like if you chronically have strep throat, sore throat, and that sort of things, you know, or the tonsil problems, that's probably one to get. I've not had any problems like that. When I was younger, like teens, I used to get sick with strep throat repeatedly
every year.
Since then, I haven't. I mean, I've not really been sick in years. So, if you are, that's something to look into. If you're not, I'd move down the list.
Yeah. And speaking of moving down the list, why not? Now, this is something a hell of a lot more people are probably going to have to deal with at some point. Wisdom teeth.
Yes.
Yeah. Very few people get to keep their wisdom teeth, but don't worry, you're wiser to have them removed, and it's recommended by your dentist. These large molars usually appear during the ages of 17 to 25, mostly in sets of 4 or less. Wisdom teeth tend to come in sideways and affect other teeth in the process. These massive chompers are prone to infection and cavities because they're hard to clean, and they aren't needed by humans anymore, so it's a wise move to have your wisdom teeth removed. Now, as somebody who's actually had 2 wisdom teeth removed, and that's because they broke on me.
Yeah.
That is so fucking painful if that fucking happens. It is hard to do work of any kind. And I sit at a desk for my job. It is hard to do anything when you have that much tooth pain. Tooth pain is a horrible fucking pain.
Oh, yeah.
It will, I mean, it is a sharp, very acute pain. It feels like it's plugged straight into your brain. Makes you think your fucking jaw is broken. It sends phantom pains all over your fucking mouth. It does. I mean, like, when I had the fucking raw exposed nerve from my one crumbling wisdom tooth, I thought this tooth was hurting. I was feeling very acute pain right here. And the dentist says, "Is that hurt?" He's like, I'm like, "No." He's like, "Yeah, there's no real pain there. That's a phantom pain."
Oh.
And it does that. And it doesn't just do that in your teeth. Mm. It will send them all over your head. I felt like up here had a fracture. I felt like down here had a fucking fracture. I thought maybe I'd been punched in my sleep or something. Oh, I mean, and it went away as soon as the fucking teeth were gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to have it in two different... Yeah, this one broke first, then this one broke first. So I still have the ones on the bottom.
I actually have not had any of my wisdom teeth removed.
Yeah.
But I should. I should. The wisdom teeth I have on the top, there's not much of them left.
It's you son of a bitch! Motherfucker embedded his claws in my back! Oh, God! Jordan, you asshole!
That's just
I'm firing our intern. That was fucked up, Jorn.
He's like, I don't get it.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Oh, if you were my cat, I'd have just flung you in a fucking tree.
Yeah.
Oh, that fucking hurts. Have your cats declawed, people. Shit.
No.
Just the front ones. They can keep their backsies. Ow. You little you squinty bastard. Oh, fucking shit.
Yeah, but I don't have much of the wisdom tooth left. It's kind of like they came in and like they kind of shattered, but there's still a bit there and they don't ever give me pain, so I haven't bothered and I don't have dental insurance, so whatever.
Oh god, when I had the one on the left removed, they didn't get all of it out, so I had this little sliver of tooth that was still sticking.
Oh.
It didn't give me any pain or anything, but it wasn't letting the fucking holes close up.
Because
once you have a tooth removed, eventually the hole in your gums just closes up. And I had it for like 6 months like that. I wouldn't go back to the disc because I didn't want another astronomical bill.
Yeah.
So I just kept fucking with that little shard of tooth until it finally came loose and I yanked the damn thing out.
Yeah.
All right, but let's see. Next.
Well, hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
Speaking of wisdom tooth and other medical procedures, I would recommend you not. I'm not a fan of fillings, and on top of that, the metal fillings at all. There's...
Okay.
I mean, you take me down crazy hippie road, but I've seen a lot of like things that they're just not good for you health-wise. Like, people remove the fillings, they get healthy again. Metal fillings in, they get sick. So, they have non-metal fillings. That's if you're going to get fillings, don't get the metal ones, or just choose another option.
Oh my God, dude. Years and years ago, back when I was a little bitty thing, my dad had a gold tooth.
Probably I won't get sick on a gold tooth, yeah.
No, he had an 18, he had an 18-karat gold fucking solid tooth. And my dad was a Vietnam War vet in the Marines, victim of Agent Orange. He was one of the motherfuckers that was out there spraying the shit. You know, they didn't tell the fucking troops the effects that Agent Orange would have on them, but it fucking causes cancer and hair loss, blindness, macular degeneration, and in some rare cases, like my dad's, it causes cysts to start growing inside your gums, therefore pushing your teeth out.
Oh, God.
And that's what happened to my dad. It wound up very slowly, but it pushed all of his fucking teeth out. And he was in pain, and he went to the dentist, and they had to remove that gold tooth. And they had it sitting on the tray, and he saw a nurse try to pocket it. And he's like, bitch, and picked up the fucking drill. And he's like, you put that tooth back down, that's mine.
Good Lord. Janky-ass fucking nurses.
The doctor shot her a fucking evil look, and fucking she put the tooth back. Oh, crazy shit. Oh, my God. Now, let me see. What is next? The appendix. The appendix is basically a useless little vestigial organ that you never know is there until it fucking flares up on you. Let's see what it says about it. It is a muscular tube attached to the large intestines, and its purpose is to digest cellulose from a large herbivorous diet. Experts have found that the appendix to be a vestigial organ that has little use today, and you can certainly live without it. It may even cause more harm than good, specifically when the appendix becomes infected and ruptures.
I wonder what's causing the appendix to come, like...
I had it explained to me one time.
Yeah?
See, basically, it's like it said. It was an organ that developed back during a time when humans lived on a fucking largely herbivorous diet. And it would only function... I mean, it was functioning organ back then. It doesn't function anymore. But I've had more than one doctor tell me basically what makes it start rupturing and get infected is when you make it start working again. It has become so useless that if it starts working again, that's when it becomes dangerous.
So don't become a vegan or you'll die.
Yeah, look at the statistics. I mean, there are more cases of appendicitis in people with vegetarian and vegan diets than there are with non-pussies.
That's interesting. Yeah. Vegans.
Let's see. What do we got next? The gallbladder.
Oh, I was hoping you had this on your list.
Oh, yeah.
I got thoughts on it.
Okay, well, let me read this real quick. The gallbladder is a small organ of the digestive system that stores bile and aids in digestion. The organ can also become problematic when gallstones are produced from cholesterol or too much bilirubin in the bile. These painful stones can be as small as a grain of sand or as large as a golf ball and cause a great deal of pain and sickness. When this occurs, the gallbladder will generally be removed and you'll be happier without it. Now, this happened to my wife. She had a buildup of gallstones in her gallbladder that could not be passed, and they had to remove hers.
She doesn't have a gallbladder?
No, my wife had her gallbladder taken out.
Interesting.
You see, and it's a big joke in our family because she found out that she went to the doctor and found out that was there and it was threatening to fucking rupture and they had to do emergency surgery to take it out. She found that out the day that I got in a wreck and totaled my yellow Cavalier.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't with me. The big joke in the family is I got in a wreck so bad that she had to have surgery.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even in the car.
I disagree with you, Mike. I do not think people should have their gallbladder removed because it does serve a very important part in life, especially the way that I believe that all humans should eat. The gallbladder produces bile salts.
Uh-huh.
Bile salts help the body break down dietary fat and use it as an energy source.
Uh-huh.
If you're missing those bile salts from not having a gallbladder, and this is, I think I've mentioned this to my mom, you can get, and I didn't realize or remember that your wife had her gallbladder removed, so you might want to look into getting a product called Ox Bile. You can get it at GNC. You can get it off Amazon. You can't get it from Walgreens or Walmart, I don't think.
Okay.
But it's a bile salt to help you break down fats. Without a gallbladder, if you eat low carb, high fat, or ketogenic, you can't process that fat correctly. Your body has a hard time dealing with it, which is why a lot of times when you have your gallbladder removed, your doctor, who's probably stupid, will tell you to, make sure you don't eat a high fat or to, really control your fat content because you're missing the body part to deal with that fat. And in an off-grid scenario, I think more people should and will, by default, have to be higher fat, more ketogenic. You dip into that with having less food. Your body goes that way. And if you're missing the body parts to live that way, you're going to want to stockpile on that ox bile supplement I was telling you about. So, I was so hoping you had gallbladder on your list.
Oh, yeah.
So, I say keep the gallbladder.
Yeah, but definitely...
Unless it's going to explode.
Definitely get it all checked. Get it checked out before you decide to go off-grid. That's one of those things that they can check, do tests on, see if it's going to be problematic.
Have you been told why the gallbladder goes bad in people? I mean, I could
formulate a hypothesis, but...
Didn't I just read it? It just says it can... It just says gallstones. Produced from from cholesterol or too much bilirubin in the bile.
What?
It says bilirubin.
Bilirubin in the bile. Yeah. I don't,
I think I heard a song by her once.
Yeah. Too much cholesterol. Too much cholesterol. I'm thinking too much inflammation. I'm thinking...
Well, yeah, hers was inflamed like hell because of all the gallstones.
But, I mean, they're saying too much cholesterol in the bloodstream, so that means there has to be too much inflammation in the body.
Hmm.
So, anyway, let's move on.
All right. Well, I've only got one other thing on my list, and we could spitball after that if you'd like.
I think you had the stuff on your list that I had mentally, so we just talked about it.
Here's one that a lot of people don't even think about. Sinuses.
Sinuses
are another mysterious body part of the human body. What we do know about them is that they are abundant air-filled spaces in the nasal cavity that can become easily infected. They are especially irritating to allergy sufferers and something we could certainly live without. Now, you're saying, but Couch Potato Mike, you can't surgically remove a void. Well, no, but
I'm pretty sure Beavis and Butthead removed their sinuses with a...
No, they were trying to remove their mucous membranes with pliers, with needle nose pliers, so they wouldn't get a runny nose.
Yeah.
No, but...
And we took it back to the beginning.
Yeah. But there actually is sinus surgery that is elective. Basically, they can remove there is bone matter in there that they can go in and remove, therefore widening out the sinuses, therefore greatly, greatly decreasing the risk of infection.
Huh.
The reason that the infection starts in there is because the sinus passages will start getting clogged up.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's ever had a stuffy nose has had a clogged sinus passage.
Right.
Therefore, infection will start building in there by widening them, by going in there, removing that bone, and actually widening your sinus passages. It makes everything more easily passed. You're going to have you might have more runoff, basically, but you're not going to have major sinus infections or sinusitis and stuff like that. Now, this is a surgery that up until recently hasn't really been elective. It's basically been an emergency necessary medical surgery, but there are doctors out there that will do it electively. Now, this is not a surgery for everybody, you know, like with the gallbladder, but, I mean, if you've always had sinus problems and you're planning on moving into the woods, especially in an area that you don't currently live in and going to be exposed to hell of a lot of new kinds of pollen, it might be something to fucking consider.
Yeah, I've never had problems. I had an aunt one time tell me that, like, I tend to be one of those people when I have a runny nose, like, I'll suck it all back and then spit it out if I have to. And she was like, you know, her brother's cousin's uncle's Mary's Bob's friends from Delaware had that, you know, he did that his whole life. And the doctors had to go in there, like, you know, surgically pull like, mucus out of his, like, they had to, like, dig around in there. And I was like, yeah, whatever, I'm still going to do it.
Well, you know what? I've got an argument against her. I knew a guy that because he blew his nose too hard, somehow ruptured something in there, mucus went into his fucking brain, and he had to have emergency surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, either sucking in through your nasal passages or blowing your nose, either one could kill you.
Yeah. maybe that's not a story for the show.
Oh, God.
I was like, I remember when I was like, we'll say seven or eight or something.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm never going to pick my nose again.
Oh, God.
I didn't blow my nose either.
I think you were right. This isn't a story for the show.
No. So I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't pick my nose or blow my nose or anything. I just, like, didn't touch my nose for, like, 3 weeks. And then, like, one day, like, I couldn't breathe out of my nose.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God. And, like, it was the biggest ever. Like,
you had to go in with a corkscrew.
Pretty much, dude. It was, fun times. Our show's awesome.
That's actually all the research I did on this.
I can't think of any other, like, elective type surgeries. No, not really. I was like, if you've got sort of bad some bad like Crohn's or colitis or that sort of, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, before you go off grid or in preparation for a grid down type scenario, you might want to look into fecal transplants. No one likes to talk about it. We're going down the potty like road again, but having healthy fecal matter transplanted into your gut can help some of those issues. And if you're off grid and you have to deal with like Crohn's and colitis and some of those other like really bad issues, you can't function with those shit if they're flaring up. I mean,
no.
So,
I mean, if something can be done about it, just do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much it costs, and I have read an article about sort of DIY fecal transplants.
Get the turkey baster.
It was an interesting article. So I guess it can be done if you know someone with a healthy gut bacteria. But you might want to look into seeing if a doctor can do it too.
Yeah.
And that's probably, I can't really think of anything else. Eat a good diet. That should clear up a lot of issues. Things like paleo have cured rheumatoid arthritis. I don't know that this completely like ties in with medical procedures, but something interesting for you fellow preppers out there. Listening to a podcast last night, yesterday. I work night shift. My days are all discombobulated.
Yeah.
There's a scientist who'd been working in the field studying ketones and some other stuff and mitochondria energy for like the past 47 years. He studied originally under a scientist called Krebs. Krebs invented the Krebs cycle. It's like
Maynard G?
What?
Maynard G. Krebs?
No.
No.
Sure no. Unless he invented the Krebs cycle. I don't really know what Krebs's first name was.
I don't know either.
Yeah, it was like how mitochondria energy gets used and shit. But he was saying that so if you're in ketosis, it has a free radical destroying type properties where, you know, like if you have free radicals floating in your bloodstream, it tends to get rid of them and stuff. Part of that also includes radioactive free radicals. So if you're exposed to radioactivity and you're in ketosis, it'll clear the radiation out. Like, obviously, if you walk into Chernobyl, ketogenic, you're probably still going to fucking die.
Yeah.
But
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl. You'll be better off, and it can deal with certain, like, people in around, it's not Hiroshima. Where is it that had the Fukushima? People around Fukushima, they need to be ketotic right now. So if we're in a grid down scenario because of nuclear fallout and you weren't vaporized by the blast, you should probably be ketogenic to help clear out those radioactive particles from your bloodstream. Just saying. And that, I think, is the last thing that I have to add.
Excellent. This is actually turning out to be a relatively... I'm just looking at everything, a relatively...
full and informative episode?
Yeah, especially about nutrition and stuff.
You listened to the last episode. It was only like 35 minutes long. I'm like, what the fuck?
This is damn near an episode of Nutrition Punk.
I know.
I still say we should do an episode of that each month. The Nutrition Punk podcast.
I would be okay with that. I could do something with the website, but... I need to use it. Google Domain sent me an email saying that they're going to give me a free domain, so I just need to pick a name. And I mean, I'm not going to turn down a free domain.
No,
like,
of course
do I need
not.
Something? Like, what do I have? So, I don't know. Seems like there was something I wanted to. No, never mind. I don't want to say it on the air. Sorry, guys. I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, I'm like, oh, James, it'll be $5,000, bitch. Yeah, no. What do we got next?
We're coming next at the hour mark. Nutrition Punk.
Nutrition Punk.
There's like 5 ways to speed up muscle recovery.
Yes.
Ow, my leg.
Mike needs some of this. This comes from purepharma.com. 5 ways to speed up muscle recovery. Nick Naidu is a full-time sports blah, 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 blah. Have you ever started a workout, already felt fatigue? Yes. Your body is tired, your mind's unfocused, and... I'm not going to read. Just give me the numbers. Yes. Number 1, hydrate. Yes. Drinking adequate amounts of water is critical to health, energy, and recovery and performance. During intense exercise, your body will sweat. Will it? What?
I don't know. I think that's just an old wives' tale.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit that Dr. Goldfinger tells us, which causes you to lose electrolytes. Rehydrating and supplementing your body with the correct nutrients post-workout is therefore key in order to help regulate the body's fluid levels. By staying hydrated, you also allow for more efficient nutrient uptake in your body when it comes to consuming the supplements in your food. Blah, blah, blah. That does not include sports drinks. High in sugar. Stick away from that.
Number 2, supplements. Exercise also causes your muscle tissue to break down, which leads to muscle soreness and inflammation. You need to provide your muscles with the right building blocks for repair. Some of these building blocks include taking supplements. Some of the best supplements for muscle recovery are fish oil to decrease inflammation and magnesium to speed recovery and relax your muscles. It's advantageous to get enough protein after training session to help muscles begin the recovery process. Many choose a protein shake because of the convenience, but you want to make sure that you find one with the quality ingredients. A protein such as PR3 is a great combination for rehydration and muscle building, with 24 grams of rice protein, dried coconut water, and collagen to help repair muscle tissues. They listed magnesium in there. Doesn't that make you go poop? Yeah, like milk of magnesia?
That's different, I think. Magnesium is good with helping you relax and sleep, though.
Yeah, it helps relax your butt muscles and makes you poop all over the place.
I find that with MCT oil. Too much MCT oil in the bulletproof coffee, and I go number 2. I do not recommend this PR3 since it uses rice protein. Fuck you, rice protein.
I didn't even know rice had protein.
No. When I was doing CrossFit, I actually used a brand of protein that was not whey protein, because whey protein, if I go like 2 scoops, gives me the poos, because it's milk, it's whey protein.
2 scoops, and yeah. You go poops.
I use something called Carnivore, which is beef protein isolate.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and you know, like the other ingredients and stuff, it was good in it, so I like that. There's some more brands out there, you know, whatever. Number 3, nutritionpunk.com. While taking the right supplements will help kickstart the recovery process, it's only just the beginning. It amazes me how so many people think one shake will help repair their body and then suddenly transform them. Yes, that is true. The reality is, the best post-workout recovery meal is real food. So the next step is getting quality meal of fast-acting carbohydrates and protein in you. At whatever time of the day you train, make sure that your post-workout meal is dense in nutrients. The meal should place a little more emphasis on protein and carbohydrates to aid protein synthesis and replace muscle glycogen. Look for good quality protein such as eggs, chicken, or fish, and a good serving of starchy carbs like from rice or sweet potatoes. In this instance, if you do a hard workout, then I'm okay with you eating rice, because white rice basically doesn't have as many anti-nutrients as some other things like brown rice. And it basically just acts as a starch. Like, it's just your muscles are like, hey, I need some glycogen. And the rice is like, I got you, bro. So if you eat rice after a workout, that's fine. It's going to build muscles.
Number 4, active recovery. Seriously, more exercise? Yes. The key is being able to listen to your body, knowing when you need to train hard and when you need to implement active recovery. This is simply exercise of low intensity. Adding in active recovery days around your harder workouts keeps the body nimble and the blood flowing. While it is extremely beneficial to have days completely off, don't be afraid to engage in active rest when you see fit.
such as a light jog, rowing, or even good mobility. This depends on you, your schedule, and your body. After hard workouts, it can be hard to get out of bed, but an hour spent doing yoga helps mobilize joints and speeds up the removal of lactic acid from your muscles. Use the rest of the day wisely with active rest and plan attentive alternate exercises to keep the body fresh and your training schedules varied.
Yeah. Yes. So I remember a couple times when I CrossFitted, like, a workout that was, like, leg intensive. And, you know, like, I would have to go in the next day with that leg day pain. And then I'd look at the board and it was like, there was a workout that involved the legs, like, even a little bit. And I'm like, no. And the weird thing is, so you go in there, like, I got out of my car and I did that mic thing where, like, I barely got out of the car. And, like, I'm like, duck walking to the door. I'm like, this is going to suck balls. It's going to suck balls so bad.
It's the mic thing now.
The mic thing, yeah. And then after you, like, do, you know, some warm-ups, like, you know, some air squats or something for practice, like, you get some fresh blood going to the muscles and, you know, removing some of the lactic acid. It actually does help. Like, it's ridiculous, but it actually does help.
Huh.
It just, like it's kind of like taking a cold shower. It's like, fuck, I don't want to do this. And then, you know, after a little bit, when your body's like, okay, this is not that bad, actually. But it's just like, it's just looking at that and going, I don't want to do you at all. Number 5.
Sleep.
What more needs to be said? Sleep is the most important time to recover, and it costs nothing. Make sure you're clocking enough hours every night to not only aid muscle recovery, but also to improve your hormone balance. There's nothing worse than training when the body is tired and unable to function in its optimum state due to lack of energy. Anything between 7 to 10 hours is a good guideline to work with. Yeah. I was like, did I read that wrong? A great way of sticking to a good sleeping pattern is establishing a pre-bed routine, like me. It could be in the form of stretching, reading a book, or even meditating for 10 to 15 minutes. Look for ways to wind down rather than things that occupy the mind, such as using your phones or watching TV. Check out other ways to get a good night's sleep at some link. Blah, blah, blah. Good stuff there. Links will be in the show notes.
Sleep is good.
Sleep, like, it's like, if people were like, James, we want to lose weight. I'm like, sleep better.
I've heard, like, you actually say that before.
If you don't have enough sleep, losing weight is hard. Like, me working on nights, I've got to do so much extra stuff to balance that out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a bit ironic in your case.
Yeah, it's... Oh, dude, that was the stinkiest fart ever.
Yes, it was. I'm proud of that one.
Yeah,
I will name that one.
Yeah, it's... That was a damn commercial. I will name you Stavros.
I shall name that Gold Farter.
Yeah, Gold Farter.
Dr. Gold Farter.
Yeah, it's like, if you don't get enough sleep, like, everything starts breaking. Like, it's like... I saw a statistic recently, and I'm not even going to quote it, because, you know, 6% of all statistics on podcasts are wrong 90% of the time. They're wrong, like, every time. It's like, people that get, like, less than 6 hours of sleep a night, like, their chance for having diabetes is, like, 59% higher than, like, people that have more sleep. And that's just a made-up statistic. It's high like that, though. Like, I heard the number, I'm like, good Lord! So... sleep's number one. Sleep. Speaking of sleep, you have a Mike's rant, which has nothing to do with sleep.
Before I get into that, though, I just want to say you did that whole 90% it works every time shit. You know, that line was not scripted at all.
No?
No, in that fucking scene, what was his name? Something Judd? Judd something?
Judd Apatow?
No, not him. Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah, because that's totally right.
Paul Rudd, you know, the one playing fucking Brian Fantana.
Yeah.
In that scene, he was completely off script. He was ad-libbing. Basically, they're like, just try to make Will Ferrell laugh.
Oh, my God.
Because apparently Will Ferrell is one of these people. He's like Jack Benny, to those of you who don't know who that is. Fucking use Google. You can't make him laugh. If he doesn't want, he makes himself laugh. If you screw up, he'll laugh. But he's not the kind of guy that you can tell him a joke and really get him laughing. If he doesn't want to laugh, he's not going to laugh. So that was just one of those lines where he was like, 60% of the time it works. Every time. And his whole response is, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
More often than not, his responses to him trying to get him to laugh made him bust out laughing. I know that has nothing to do with survivalness, but that's my fault side.
You sent me off on a rant. So the other day at work, before I got caught and had to quit listening to Pandora at work.
You got caught listening to Pandora?
I had my earphone. I had like one earbud in, and the jackass manager happened to catch me, and I'm like, oh.
That's not allowed?
Apparently not.
What an asshole.
I'm like, it's okay with people walking around talking and taking like hour-long breaks, but I've got one earbud in.
And you're still working.
Yeah, he's like, oh, he didn't really like get out. He's just like, take that out. Yeah, well, I'm working like twice. Well, anyway. I was listening to an Irish radio station on Pandora. And I think with your love of the Boondock Saint movies, mm-hmm. you would actually be a fan of traditional Irish music. Because it's all them, like, it's all like tall tales with, like, ditty music. Like that song I was telling you about where he's like, son, you can love women all around the world, but if you fall in love with a mermaid, make sure you know how to swim. And he was like, I loved her with all my heart, except for the bottom part. Because that was a tail. And then he was like, and her sister swam by one day, and I was okay with that because the top part was a fish and the bottom part was not.
Oh my God.
I need to play it for you so you can hear it. But there's a song, like, this guy was like going around drinking one day, and he came upon the sheriff's wife. And he flirted with her, and he had a kiss with her, and the sheriff saw and got angry, so he hit him with a fine. And he was like, I'm not paying your fine. So he had to go to court. Well, the magistrate, the judge, was a buddy of his. So they're in the courtroom, the guy, the sheriff's wife, the magistrate, you know, and the people watching. And the sheriff was like, oh, you pulled a knife on my wife and said that if you didn't, like, give her a kiss that you would take her life. And it was like, I'll gladly repay my debt here. I'll give back the kiss that I stole. So the magistrate was like, well, go right ahead. So he kissed the sheriff's wife again. And the magistrate was like, so was that the kiss that was stolen from you? And she was like, well, I don't know. Let me see it again. And he's like, and the sheriff is gnashing his teeth. And the judge is like, well, I'm sure you both are committing a crime, but that I have no jurisdiction over that kind of crime there. And the guy was like, okay. He's like, I'll make it all up to all of you. I'll spend next month's salary at the pub and pay for all of you. Just make sure the sheriff doesn't come in. And they all went next door and they all drank all the beer.
Oh my God.
I'm like, it's just a stupid tall tale.
What the fuck?
Well, go ahead with your rant. I'd tell everyone about stealing the kiss.
No, from what I actually have heard of like traditional Irish music, I've always liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I heard
like...
I just
never thought to look it up on Pandora.
I have like a station called Floggin' Molly, and you know, it brings in other
people.
Oh,
yeah, of course, yeah.
Or you can just like Irish folk music. And you'll hear like 17 versions of Whiskey in a Jar.
Oh my God.
It's fun, because sometimes I'll have the live versions, and like you'll hear the audience, and oh my God. The callback Irish music games are fun, where it's like, go ahead, go with your rant. We'll talk about this. It's just fun, because like they're talking to the audience back and forth. And...
No, I get a kick out of shit like that. But it is time for Mike's Rant. And before I get into Mike's Rant, I want to send a request to all of our listeners. If you can come up with a better name for this segment than Mike's Rant, because I'm not really a big fan of the name of Mike's Rant, but for some reason I'm just brain fried on this. Just send us an email, james@survivalpunk.com. If you have or find us on Facebook, whatever. If you have a better name for the Mike's Rant section, and that was my rant.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking. No, my rant this week: gluten-free bullshit. We've all been in goddamn stores, all right, people? And have you noticed how every fucking thing is gluten-free on it? I mean, yeah, glutens for some people are horrible and you can't digest them and they're like sandpaper in your fucking stomach and all that shit and blah, 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 blah. And that's perfectly fine when you see products that are normally packed with gluten fucking putting labels on their shit that say, now gluten-free because they've changed the formulation or have a new formulation or whatever without the gluten in it. Yay for those motherfuckers. But that's... That's the thing. It happens to everybody. It happened to fucking low carb. It happened to fucking paleo. It happened to this, that, and the other, and it's fucking sister and brother and mother. Here's the thing. I'm seeing gluten-free goddamn labels on shit that never had gluten in it to begin with. These are just a few of the fucking things I've seen labeled gluten-free. Tuna. Tea bags. Coffee. Sugar. Coffee creamer. Alcohol. Like vodka. Mashed potatoes. Toothpaste. Chips. Mayonnaise, eggs, asparagus, and honey. I have seen gluten-free labels on all of those things. A few others that I couldn't fucking remember to write. The one that pisses me off the most, and I even found a website all about this, Clara's Gluten-Free Water. Gluten-free water. Does water have anything in it besides water, goddammit? Okay, I understand you wanting to fucking sell money. But go fuck yourselves. Go eat a bowl of dicks, which I'm pretty sure are also gluten-free. I am Mike, and that was my rant.
I hate seeing gluten-free on things like potato chips are gluten-free.
Can you show me one potato that was made from wheat ever?
I think Pringles are not gluten-free.
I think Pringles are?
Just say, I'm pretty sure that Pringles would, you know... He was going to have his tennis ball factory and potato chips. And he was like, fuck it, cut him up. I'm pretty sure he threw some weed in there as a binding agent. And maybe Munchos.
Yes, because Pringles aren't actually like sliced cut or anything like that. They're actually mashed and then formed in a mold.
Yeah, probably with gluten. But every other potato chip, mashed potatoes, like instant potatoes, they say gluten-free on them.
Yeah.
Naturally gluten-free.
Yeah, naturally gluten-free.
No shit. It's like my trans fat angriness. Like,
did you hear me say the toothpaste? When I heard them advertising toothpaste as gluten-free the other day, I damn near wrecked my car.
Yeah. Hold on. You know what toothpaste does have in it, though?
Hmm.
Tiny dead sea creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Diatoms.
Yeah, no, I knew about that.
Yeah.
But they're naturally gluten-free.
They're naturally gluten-free. They do cause red tide, though.
Now, I have heard about the fucking... and there's this one vodka that's being advertised on public radio.
As gluten-free?
Yeah, naturally gluten-free.
No fucking shit. See, it's slapping on things like, yeah, you're a toxic shitstorm of stuff. Oh, God, I bet Cokes are going to put gluten-free on them.
I wouldn't be fucking surprised if they did. I want to start bottling water and just on the label, gluten-free, paleo-friendly, Atkins-friendly.
You know, yeah. Hold on. Years ago, I saw a commercial that nailed it the best. Like this motherfucker's driving around on his lawnmower, mowing his lawn, and you hear like the word bubbles. He's thinking. He was like,
"Dolphin sink."
He's like, "Why does everything say it doesn't have trans fat?" He's like, "Obviously, trans fat was something made up to put on packages. Like, doesn't have trans fat in it." He's like, "I'm gonna start putting does not contain death crystals." Like, now fortified with no death crystals in it. Like, I'd have that in my package. Like. James's snack ups does not have death crystals in them. Oh, you better get them. They don't have death crystals in them.
Yeah, you might as well just fucking put shit like plutonium free.
Yeah, it's like, hold on. I think the best marketing ever is Old Spice deodorant.
Oh, I love Old Spice deodorant. They always put some smart ass on it. And it's like an Easter egg on like every stick of Old Spice deodorant or the cologne or whatever.
I remember before smartphones were invented.
Let me see. Yes, I want to see if I can find it.
Oh, it's right. It's
right there?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. I remember, I'm going to read it. I remember years ago, like, I used to sit in the bathroom, take a dump, and I just read whatever's around me because, you know, you can't play Candy Crush back in, like, you know, 2004 or whatever. So I was reading there one day, and I was looking over, you know, I was looking at the ingredients in the back of my deodorant, and then I noticed it said, contains odor-fighting atomic robots that shoot lasers at your scent monsters and replace them with fresh, clean, masculine scent elves. Yeah, that's why I bought old...
It's not in a goofy font or anything, it's just hidden in plain sight, because they know most people...
No, it looks like a warning label.
It does.
It looks like it should be like,
The Surgeon General says this may give you herpes. Nope. Send fighting elves.
And you know what kills me about that? Because Old Spice was originally marketed as like a fucking cologne or aftershave.
For old men.
That you give to your dad.
Yeah. Which is...
I fell for that. When I was a kid, I'm like, my dad's birthday was coming up. I wanted to buy him a lighter and a bottle of Old Spice because the commercial told me to.
Yeah. I own... The only cologne that I own is Old Spice.
Yeah, my dad loved Old Spice back in the day.
Yeah. I have like some stupid body spray stuff, but not Axe. Oh God.
No, I'm pretty sure Old Spice started doing shit like that to appeal to a younger audience.
Well, yeah, I mean, their commercials are badass and so yeah. But we're rambling.
I know, plus you have to have something to do with those fucking atomic robots.
You're damn right.
And on that bombshell.
Yes, that is a bombshell.
Yes, that is a bombshell. And on that bombshell, it is time to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sickwin Burnett.
And remember, have everything taken out before you go into the woods.
DIY to fight synth-elving robot thingies. Use guys.
Use guys.